Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we check in with Tee It Up industry insider Jack Curry of 2Under and come up to date with Steve Henneman of Tech Tech Tech. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. We want to talk a little bit about some products and also about the PGA Buying Summit coming up on July 29th and 31. So we've got to have Steve Henneman on later on from Tech Tech Tech. But right now we turn to Jack Curry. You know, Jack's the 2Under amongst other things that he does. He's quite the entrepreneur and quite the guy who knows what's going on, especially on the apparel side in the industry, one of our go-to guys, one of our industry insiders. And he will be in attendance in Frisco, which doesn't surprise me. We saw him there last year, and although we won't be able to see him this year, we welcome Jack back to the show. Mr. Curry, always a pleasure, my good man.
Keith, thanks very much for having us on again. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, you know, you always are in the know what's going on in the industry. That's one of the reasons we love having you on. And, of course, the products that you represent and you have a hand in are always top shelf, so that speaks volumes to the kind of businessman you are as well.
Well, thank you very much for that compliment. I do love to associate with great products and good people, and that's I keep it that way. That's my mantra.
Works pretty well. So obviously we're going to talk about 2Under, but before we get to 2Under, I want to talk about something new that you got involved in, and I had some conversations. And it appears there's some golf gloves that are making some noise in the industry. So people say, golf gloves, I have to wear one. Usually I wear one, I have it. But, you know, how do I know what's different between this one and this one over here? You know, this one may be a little more mesh-like, and this one may be the Cabretta leather or what have you. But why are you in that dynamic now? And talk about what makes a good golf glove.
Thanks for that, Andre. So the company that I work for, the new name of the company is Nasser, N-A-S-E-R, Bally, B-A-L-I, Leather, Inc. And it's formerly known as Bally Leathers out of Johnstown, New York, or what most people have called Gloversville, New York, for over 110 years. All the gloves that were ever made for work and or dress, or any kind of glove that was made in the United States back in the late 1800s would have been done in Johnstown, Gloversville, New York is where they were made. And then that was where the Polish trade, all the Polish people came over here, and they were big needle people. They were people who loved to run these big machines and knew how to work with leather, and they were craftsmen and knew how to cut, and they were established. That's where gloves were established. Every glove that was made in the United States for anything that you used was made in that area, in that region. And it took probably 70 years, maybe 80 years for it to evolve and change when it all started to go overseas, just due to the fact, I think, the EPA got involved and the tanneries that were up there were getting closed, and everything started going over to Indonesia and India and Pakistan. But the two key areas for golf are always been Indonesia and also Ethiopia, because of the availability of sheepskin, and sheepskin is what golf gloves are made with. And they were a company that I was very, very fortunate to get to meet the owner, a guy named John Whittemer and his son. And the family was a fifth-generation family-owned company, over 110 years. And I just fell in love with the family and the legacy and everything. And the grandfather of that company is, his name was Hiltz Willard, and he was a founder of the dress glove, and they named the gloves after him, which were made in work gloves and dress gloves in 1878 there. So I got to be a part of that legacy for a good 12, 13 years, from 1999 to 2012. And how it all evolved is I was working for Tommy Armour Golf, and Tommy Armour was looking for a licensee to make golf gloves. And we found this company, and they were, by the way, making gloves for FootJoy for over 30 years at that point. And they were making a lot of private label for a bunch of other people. Well, when Tommy Armour got sold, well, the company I was working for was a Canadian company called Gen X Sports, owned it. They sold it to Huffy. And when that happened in 1999, all of us, not were necessarily were getting displaced, but were not real happy. I wasn't moving to Ohio. I wasn't moving to Dayton. I wasn't going to go work for a bicycle company. And I wasn't particularly a fan of the gentleman who I don't need to mention who was running it. So when I left, I resigned from Tommy Armour after being with them. And we took it from $18 million to $42 million after we bought it out of bankruptcy. So we did pretty good with it. And we had an opportunity. I got to meet, of course, John and JD was his name, the son. And unfortunately, both have passed. They were just gentlemen. They were just wonderful human beings who loved people and loved the industry that they were in. And they said, listen, you know, we're looking to expand our business now, and we understand that you're looking to get stay in the business some way. Would you be interested in talking to us becoming vice president of sales? And I did. And I joined them, and gosh, when I joined them, we were doing about $6.5 million, and rode the horse for till 2012 to take it up to about $19.5 million, all with the help of John and JD and the factories and getting the relationships and building up more business with Callaway and Cobra Puma and TaylorMade and Adidas and Costco and Sam's and Sports Authority and Golfsmith and Academy and PGA Tour Superstore and Dick's and Golf Galaxy. It was fun, and we had a great time, and I really loved that business. But then, unfortunately, JD came of ill health, and Dad was at that point 80, and Mom was, I think, 81 or somewhere around that same vicinity, and they felt they had a pair back, and that's why I had to leave in 2012. And I did, and continued on in doing the business that I'm in now with 2 Under. I joined in 2014, so a little hiatus from the fall of 2012 to then. Joined this company, obviously been with 2 Under and continue to work for them. And the factory, John just passed away, and NBG Group is the Nasser Bally Group, who owns their own tannery, and that's probably 1,500 acres and 16,000 square feet of tannery and cutting facilities and manufacturing facilities in India, in Chennai. And they bought it. Nasser Ahmed is the founder of that company, along with his entire family. Again, once again, a family-owned company, who I got to know when I was with them, of course, from 99 to 2012, because they've been the manufacturer for those gloves for FootJoy for over 35 years. So they were, at that point, buying the company and making that transition as an Indian company to buy a U.S. company, just to go through the governmental securities and everything that you need to go through to get paperwork done. It took them a good year and a half to 2 years. And then we started rekindling the discussion because, of course, when John passed away, I sent my condolences and was interested in just talking to them and finding out what were their future plans. Where were they going with the business? What did they want to do with it? And I was very fortunate in 2010, I want to say, maybe late 9, early 10, don't hold me to the date exact, a guy named Tokir Alam Patel, young man who at that point was probably 26 years old, was working in the factory. And because J.D., his son, came of ill health, he hired Tokir to be his general manager and his liaison to go back and forth between the factory, which is what J.D., his son, was doing. But John, at that point, did not want to, you know, 78 years of age, didn't feel like traveling three times a year over to India and Indonesia. So he needed to have that liaison. And Tokir came here, and I got to meet Tokir and actually roomed with him because I would go up there 1 week a month, every single month, to spend and work out of the office and work with him and John and all the girls and the warehouse people, just to make sure we had a very cohesive group of people making gloves and knowing what we're doing. And Tokir is still with the company as the general manager of the U.S. division of Nasser Bally. I joined them April, JCM, J. Curry Marketing. My son and I have joined and are heading up their entire sales in U.S. and internationally. And we're going to try to bring it back and take some of that business that fell off the cart while I had left. And when not that they were failing, it was just there was no one there to really keep the sales going. We've decided to get back involved, and I'm very excited, as you can tell in my voice. I have a little passion for it. It's great product. It's some of the finest made products out there. The difference between them and a lot of the other people in the industry is everybody else does not table cut. They do machine cut. And what that means is you take 20 layers of leather and you drop this big old machine down on top, and they're all supposed to be cadet mediums. And when they're done, as you drop a heavy piece of metal on a piece of leather, what's going to happen is that leather on the bottom is going to stretch because of the weight. So the consistency of the fit is not going to be the same. Every one of ours are hand cut and table cut, and that means they're going to be exact. You're not going to have twisted thumbs and twisted fingers. You're going to have a better stitching, and it's inverse stitching. It's a palm that's going to feel good, the back of your hand along with your thumb, and it's not going to twist. And the leather we use, there's so many different grades of leather, but I can tell you that the Stay Soft glove, that patent, came from John Whittemer. It was a graphite tanning process. And that's called Graflex, was his trademark that he put under that. And he gifted that to FootJoy. And that's what still today is used by Stay Soft. And why it's called the Stay Soft, because it's machine washable. And your sweat cannot penetrate that leather, and it will not get crispy and boardy. Well, we have a glove called the Ultima, and we do that as well. So our own brand in the United States is called U.S. Glove. And we still do private label. We still manufacture for Dick's and Golf Galaxy. And we want to get back into the PGA Tour Superstore and Academy and all those people to do all their private label gloves and go back and make the Walmart glove their own brand and make the Costco glove and Sam's gloves. And you name it, we can make it. We also made FedEx and driver's gloves. We made tactical gloves. We made first responder gloves. We made dress gloves. We make pickleball gloves, batting gloves, fitness gloves. You name it. In a glove business, we make it. My objective is to bring all that back and get a little bit, one brick at a time. And golf is our priority and the primary source of where our income is right now. And we're going to concentrate on that, but I'm going to dangle and put some feelers out there and tentacles out there to find out what other kind of business we can secure. Pickleball being, in my opinion, the next hottest glove out there, because pickleball is the fastest growing sport in the country.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. We're talking to Jack Curry and the entrepreneur. See, this is why the guy knows the industry so well. Who would have known in that amount of time you could learn that many things about the golf glove? But are people, as in consumers, going to be able to get this glove that's under U.S. Glove, or it's going to have to be? How will they know if they go to buy from this particular brand that that's the kind of glove they're getting?
Yeah, that's a great question, Keith, and we're going to make sure that they do. First, U.S. Glove is going to have every glove from the top-tier leather elite glove, tour glove, all the way down to a child's glove, and we'll have a shorty for ladies with their fingernails, you know, the $75 fingernails going through there that they can't put inside of a glove because it's going to damage it. The paint job, we're going to make sure that their fingernails come through, and we're going to give them rain gloves and winter gloves. We're not going to be just a leather glove. We're going to make an assortment of gloves again, which we had never really discontinued, but we're going to re-energize it under a new branding of U.S. Glove with a new shield and a new look, all new packaging. And you can go out there and buy U.S. Glove right now at the pro shops. And we're going to sell it to the pro shops, the country clubs, because even though they are buying branded gloves, some of those branded gloves are going to be at a price point that some consumers maybe not necessarily want to spend. So we're going to come out with a glove that's going to be anywhere between 30, or even 40% less at retail that is going to offer them a quality as good as or better than some other people in the industry.
And that'll be under the moniker of U.S. Glove.
That is correct. USG. We're going to use that shield is USG, and U.S. Glove is the brand. And then for Keith Jones, if Keith is running an event for a charity event, he wants to use the U.S. Glove product and our best leather, called the Ultima, we could put a custom logo on it. We can give you that opportunity to do that. We've already done it for the Augusta Golf Collective, and the Amateur Players Tour just bought 3,000 custom-made gloves.
Well, that's the way Jack Curry rolls. He's our guest this hour. Get up, Insider, and we'll be back with Jack. And we're back and joined by Jack Curry. You know him mostly of 2 Under, but this guy is an entrepreneur. He's one of our industry insiders because he knows it so well. And he mentioned a company that I still have the golf clubs of. And I'm talking about Tommy Armour. Now, I want to go back a little bit in time with Jack because he touched on that, working for Tommy Armour for a long time. But there was a guy named Rudy Slucker, who I had on the show many, many years ago. And I tell this story because I told Rudy, because I think either Barney Adams or Dave Pelz told me this. If you want to play more golf, do not get involved in the golf industry. Rudy did not believe me. And I had really good sources, and he ended up selling, and he played lot less golf. But anyway, you laugh because you've obviously heard the name Rudy Slucker.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately for Tommy Armour Golf, it was out of Morton Grove, and some wonderful people went down the tube with Rudy, unfortunately. If you remember, the TI-1000 was his demise. That was a set of clubs that he came out with that was about a $1,200 set of clubs, irons. That's it, irons. And, you know, the 845, there's only one golf set of irons in the industry that ever sold more sets in 1 year than the Tommy Armour 845, and that is the Ping I 2. They sold 1.8 million sets in 1 year, and we sold 1.42. We were right on the tail of something really good. We had a little tiger by the tail. Everything was really rolling well. Tommy Armour we owned the rights to Zebra. We owned, I'm losing my brain here. Zebra Ram was part of Tommy Armour. And there, the putter that, I am drawing a total blank. You probably remember it was a roll face putter.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Teardrop.
Yep, Teardrop. There it is.
That was all part of the same consortium. You know, that was one group. And, it's unfortunate that company went bankrupt. And Jamie Salter, a Canadian entrepreneur who's worth about $5 billion today, so he just makes money. I mean, he turns $1 bills into $1,000 bills. He bought the company for $18 million out of bankruptcy and took it, like I said, to $42 million, and then they sold it off to Huffy. But in the meantime, of course, Rudy, unfortunately, he had done a really good job. Listen, he built the company from zero to where it went to. That TI-1000, though, was a demise because you can't sell a $1,200 set of clubs to the pro shops for retail at that price and then sell to them for about $700. And it didn't do well, and he was stuck with, I don't know, a gazillion. Let's just put a trailer load full of iron sets, and he sold them all to Sam's, who ended up selling them for $600. So every pro – they were selling them for what every pro had already paid more money for. So I think the next day after that happened, every one of those iron sets went flying back to Chicago from every golf pro in the country, and that was their demise.
Wow. Thanks for bringing that full circle. It's Jack knows. I want to make sure I have it right. Was John Hoflick involved with the 845s?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Because I have Hofi sets from I have the 845s, I have the Kent irons that he when he went there. John Hoflick, and I know he's long retired and he's been on this show a number of times over the years. But this guy, I mean, you talking about the trifecta. I mean, he had three of the greatest selling irons of all time, and still holds that record. Three.
Yep.
Incredible.
Brilliant. Yep. You can turn a piece of crap steel into the best irons in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish he hadn't retired, but everything runs its time. Guy who's not going to retire is my guest this hour. He'll be on numerous times over the years because this guy keeps getting anything you and if you need anything information wise in the industry. It was soft goods, really, but, you know, obviously he's got hard good experience, too.
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah. I was in the right place, right time, many times. It's all a matter of not what you know, but who you know.
Well, there is a lot of that now, especially today, but the same token, you do research and you do find these gems. And I'm not sure they all fall out of the sky and hit you in the head, Jack.
No, they don't, but that's okay. Some of them we have to duck from, some of them we don't. But I do find Hispanic fortunate and blessed to have the opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, the duck and cover thing sometimes does come in handy. As we're with Jack Curry, our industry insider, on Teed Up Keith Jones, having a good time as usual. Jack always is good for a laugh, indeed. But we're heading to the bottom of the hour, and we'll be back with Jack once again.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. I haven't been this excited since I discovered I couldn't lick my elbow.
Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
And we're back to start our second half hour of the show, spending the time with Jack Curry, Teed Up Industry Insider, guy who... And the first part of the show was talking about gloves and probably gave you more information than you cared to know. No, I really find a lot of that very interesting. Some I knew and some I didn't, but I always like to learn things on this show. And once again, it has happened. So hopefully, you know, our guests share vital information and knowledge that they have that it makes a lot of sense. And the machine part of cutting those gloves was really interesting, and it makes total sense that the gloves on the bottom, or the leather on the bottom, would be stretched. It makes fantastic sense that way. But something else that is stretchable and breathable and such is two under, and the Bodie short has been very, very successful for two under, and there's so many other things and the innovations that keep coming out of two under are just astounding.
Oh, thank you, Keith. Yeah, we are really blessed that we very, very much so. The golf industry has adopted us, and it continues to grow in all other areas of sports as well, and menswear and fine men's shops. But our golf is our core competency for sure. Probably 65-70% of our business still, and growing. And we love to continue to see it grow, and we keep it fresh. And, you know, we're just coming out of the spring summer session. It'll be realistically end for us the end of this month, because back to school in August is here before we can blink. And, you know, that's the fall season starts. So now you got our fall holiday season's coming, and we've got lots of fantathletes, and we got some great prints for fall. Trust me, it's over the top good. Some of these new prints that we're going to have out that are coming out for August, starting August 1, are over the top, just like the spring summer was and why we did so well there. But I can tell you that the response so far and our bookings and what we're showing and what we're seeing from the customers it's exciting. You know, if I count them all, there's 20 new prints for fall holiday alone.
Wow. So, and a lot of these will be on exhibit in Frisco at the Buying Summit?
Yes, every one of them will be at Frisco. We were giving previews in January, of course, at Orlando, but now we're going to have them full-fledged up front and center. And in addition, you'll also see some previews of, like we did for fall holiday in January, we're going to give you fall previews for next January for spring, summer of 25 already.
Somebody's staying really busy. How do these keep coming up with these designs? I mean, you got designs of all kinds of kinds.
You know, I'll give all the credit where credit is due. I give a lot of credit to Rocky Harris. You met Rocky, Joey Williams, and Dave Williams. Are all guys who spend time doing this, and they're dedicated to their brand. They're dedicated to making sure that we keep it fresh. The one thing we don't want is we don't want our pro shops to be our best warehouse of navy blue. You know, what's making this exciting and fun is that men aren't just buying for themselves. Women are buying for men, not only for their significant others, husbands, but they're buying for their brothers, their dads, their uncles, their cousins, you name it. Any male in their life that they're buying presents for have been we've rekindled a relationship with a woman because of men's briefs. Even ladies' boutiques are buying men's briefs from two under now because ladies are the predominant buyer of men's briefs. They're the best gift that women can buy for men.
Huh. Okay. I got to get me some of them, women.
Yeah. They love it. They love the prints more than anything, Keith. That's what's really fun. They get excited about it. I mean, like when we always have some let's just put it's questionable names for our product or our prints, like Miami Nights and Tropicana and Donuts and Poutine and Banana Hammock and you name it. I mean, we got to have fun with it, right? We want people that we are talking about men's junk. We're definitely dealing with something that can be sensitive. But at the same time, if men are going to be wearing them, why would they want to wear a tidy whitey when they can wear something as comfortable as the Swing Shift made of 95% Modal, 5% elastane, and feel like they're wearing nothing at all, but have fun so that when their significant others do see them, no matter what genre they are, they love them. They have fun with them.
So is that the new one that you have out? I think there's another extension of the line that you are bringing out.
We are. We just introduced it. It's called the Juicy. And the Juicy incorporates our patented Joey pouch on the inside. So it's called a 2-in-1 short, or we call it the Juicy, because you can wear it swimming. You can wear it playing volleyball. You can wear it playing pickleball. You can just wear it out. It doesn't matter. Wherever you wear it, it's got a liner in it. So you've got an asset. We call it asset management, of course. It's being handled with your Juicies while you're walking around. It's got a zippered pocket for valuables. It's got two deep front pockets with cell phone sleeves in them. It's just a great feel. And by the way, if you happen to be going to a water park or going to a pool and you jump in, or you're in a boat and you fall over the side, guess what? If it gets wet, it has a quick dry fabric on it. It's going to dry fast, and it's going to feel good when you're wearing it. And it washes and wears like iron.
Wow. Okay. And then are there new versions of the different shifts, the Swing Shifts and the other shift and the other shifts? Or is
there
that...
are. So no, you're spot on. So the Swing Shift, the Flow Shift, the Eco Shift, which is your sustainable product, and the Day Shift are continuing. They're not going to change. But about 2 years ago, just under 2 years ago, that we had we were finishing up with a Generation 1 called the Power Shift, which was a fantastic heavy sweat workout kind of product. But we found out during the course of the manufacturing and over the years of selling it that there's some ways to improve that. And we created an improvement called Generation 2, and it's called the Sport Shift. And with now it's a four-way stretch, quick-dry polyester, 84% poly, 16% compression, the highest compression we've ever had. It's got laser-cut venting system in it with the four-way stretch and a heavy-duty band on it. I can tell you it's lightweight. You talk about quick-drying, it's 3 to 6 minutes. It's dry after you're done sweating in it. But more importantly, you're not going to feel like you're wearing a bag. You're not wearing a plastic bag on. You're going to feel comfortable, cool, and very calm in this product because it is a great feeling material. Even though it has polyester in it, because of the way it's constructed in the four-way stretch, I think the people will be 100% surprised on the feel of this product.
Well, yeah, that's the big thing because, those of us who may or may have not seen the 70s where poly was ruling, it was a totally different thing that's being used these days. As a matter of fact, one of the most brilliant things ever done to clothing was putting some sort of stretch into denim called jeans.
100%. You're spot on there, Keith. Without stretching the jeans, you'd be wearing the old Wranglers, and they were horrible to wear, even though we did all wear them. And, you know, everybody had a pair, but they just weren't comfortable. And now, today, you wear jeans, you feel like you're wearing nothing at all, and that's the whole point of it. And, you know, they call them skinny jeans for these young kids that have flat bellies and skinny asses and skinny waists. But that's not in my forte, I can tell you, and probably not in some other people's out there. Probably 70% of us aren't out there like that.
Not saying where I fall, not saying it at all. But we're talking with Jack Curry of 2-Under. And, you know, obviously if you heard about the Nasser Bali Leather Inc. earlier in the show, you know, this guy's all about the industry and moving the needle and making things happen. But, yeah, who would, you know, leather gloves and Men's briefs, quite the combination. This is the mind that is Jack Curry.
Keith, thank you. We're just going to keep having fun. We've got all new colors coming. You're going to see. Well, you're not going to be in Frisco, but I'll send you pictures when they're all set up.
Yeah, please do that. That'll be fantastic. We'll look forward to getting those, and we will obviously look forward to seeing you in Orlando, and obviously the booth will be sizable there as well, and obviously innovations and stuff. So where are you seeing the industry going, Jack, as far as the apparel side and then overall?
Well, that's a great question. So I see it from the apparel side. I see it's the pricing has gotten a little bit on the high side. There's no doubt about it. And I think the consumer is getting a little more savvy. E-commerce has allowed them to even become more savvy. I think we're seeing e-commerce not peaking, but I think it's slowing down a little bit. People are getting – there's too much smoke and mirrors out there. There's too many people that got into this business through e-commerce because they could and are giving not total bait and switch, but can do bait and switches, and people are getting – the consumers getting caught buying the product that they thought they were going to get, and they didn't, and now they're disappointed. So it scared them. I think that you're going to see the pricing come back down. I think you're always going to have your high end. The Peter Millars and the brands that are way up there, the Travis Matthews, are going to live up there. But where we have tried to put ourselves is a quality boutique branded product that is fair market value with the best quality possible. And we look very closely at the fact that when we take a product and sell it, we look at our return rate, right? I mean, our goal is to have zero. Now, if we can keep it where we're hovering right now at 1/10 or 1% of our total sales, we feel very proud of that, because that means that we've done what we said we're going to do to the consumer and provide a quality product that they know they can not have to look over their shoulder. They don't have to worry about when they wash it. It's not going to fade, as long as they're following the washing instructions. And then, you know what? That's education. That's our job. We have to do a better job at that. If there's an issue with any company not educating their consumer as to what they're selling them and how to wash it, then shame on them. And we do the opposite. We go out there and do a lot of PK sessions, a lot of give the consumers and the retailers all the ammunition to know what they're selling, so that when they're dealing with it, gosh forbid Keith has a pair that rips on the seam, I need to know about it. But guess what? We're not going to say, Keith, that's your problem. We're going to say, Keith, we're going to replace that. Thank you very much. And we appreciate your patronage, and we're going to get you a new pair. But do me a favor. I don't need them. Dirty laundry, I don't need it back. I need a picture of what's wrong with it so we can send it to the factory and correct it if it's a factory issue.
So there is obviously a wearability thing with all products. So, you know, people have – guys have had some of their – we'll call them briefs. Well, I was going to call them underwear. But, you know, for many years, you know, but there is a expiration – time, even on underwear. Wouldn't you say you would buy into that? I'm sure.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, I mean, let's forget the wearability of it. How about the comfort factor? I mean, gosh darn, think about tighty whities. How long could you wear a tighty whitey before it would start to dig into you? You had to throw it away, or that rubber band would go through the seam and tear apart your skin. Besides the fact you'd have a few extra stains in there.
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah. Yeah, white's not the color of choice anymore, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, no. But the materials, the breathability, it's the moisture wicking, it's the sweat. If we're keeping a dry environment, right, we call it asset management for a reason. Comfort, fit, playability. Take and create a dry environment, keep it. There's no heat buildup, no moisture buildup, no skin-on-skin contact, and no chafing. Without a Joey pouch, you're still going to have those other issues. With our Joey Pouch, we don't have that issue.
Yeah, that is patented, and that's the game changer right there, as you're talking to Jack Curry. And you mentioned the pricing in the industry. Everybody thinks that they're Peter Millar, and they charge accordingly, but people forget that, you know, there's a whole segment that's being missed, kind of that moderate price, not too inexpensive, not too pricey, that would certainly drive a lot of business.
Customers are not afraid to spend money if they're going to get quality for that money. They don't want to feel abused. If they come in there and they feel like they've been taken advantage of, you're going to get one sale and you're not going to get a repeat. And that's not the objective of our brand. Our brand has always been very quality conscious, but price competitive, and be out there and know what we're selling in a quality brand. Putting in the extra, putting in better materials is definitely going to provide a value to the consumer. And if we can provide a better value along with a comfort and fit, that's where, that was our objective that we're trying to achieve. And so far, you know, thanks to people like yourself and other consumers out there, we've achieved that. And you're the ones telling us what we are doing right and what we're doing wrong. And fortunately, a lot of the rights are helping us to build our business and make us better at what we do. And, you know, we heard it from day one. You know what? We sold solids. If you remember, the very first 2014, we had four solids or six solids, and that's it. And it didn't take more than a year before we had people screaming at us, you need to have other colors and you have to have some prints and patterns. And the next thing you know, we've got heathering and we've got combination prints and you got two tones, and it's great. And then we got lengths. Of course, you got 3-inch leg length, you got a 6-inch boxer brief, and you got the 9-inch long leg. So you got to accommodate everybody. And we're the only brand that's offering extra small to 5XL. Nobody's offering that range in all the different colors and sizes that we offer and prints and patterns. So we try to be as diverse as we can as a company to make sure that we don't alienate one particular consumer.
Obviously, this is a male-based brand, but you mentioned females are some of your biggest customers. And I, on the women's apparel side, boy, they get jammed monetarily. It's crazy how much do they expect the ladies to pay for their garments.
Oh, boy. Oh, my God. It's just amazing when you hear ladies are paying $75 or $80 for a bra and $30 or $35 for a thong. I'm going like, holy mackerel, what are we doing here? But the ladies are helping. They're mad at us probably. Still, we get screamed at all the time because we haven't come out with our ladies' branding yet. And, you know, is it in the works? Yeah, our guys are paying it close attention, but we're probably not going to bring it out under the 2 Under brand. We're going to keep that for the male side of our business. And maybe we'll have, who knows, under UNDR2, TOO, or 2OVR for the bra. Who knows? I'm not the guy who does that. We have a team that does
that. Right. And industry-wise, what are you seeing? Not just apparel, but overall. What's the pulse like?
The pulse is still very good. Golf has still continued to grow, is still growing. The participation is still there. It's steady as it ever has been. We're still seeing an influx of children and ladies' business. You go to the range now, or these pop strokes, or these putting places. Gosh darn, Topgolf, you're seeing all ages there. It's not just men. It's women, families, having fun, making it a memorable experience. I think you're seeing 6-hole golf courses being built. I think you're seeing 12-hole golf courses and 9-hole courses getting more popular every single day. I think women really are enjoying the game. I see more and more of them out there playing. I love the fact that they're out there playing because they deserve to be out on the golf course. You know, it was definitely a little bit of arrogance was part of the golf business back in the early days. And it's changed, and it's become a full genre sport. And I think I'm excited to be a part of it because it is. COVID definitely assisted all of us in growing this business because it gave people a chance to get outside and do something and golf.
Jack, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Jack Curry, my guest, and team for Keith Jones. Steve Henneman from Tech 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 when we come back from this break. And it's now time to check in with a little technology as we hear Tech 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 is again on the cutting edge doing new things as we welcome Steve Henneman, a guy who's bringing us up to date on a regular basis because this technology company has been nothing but miraculous when it comes to rangefinders and such. So welcome to the show. Henny, what you got going on?
Always a good time coming on. I appreciate you having me on. Just getting through the dog days of summer here, but sales have been going very well for us, you know, ever since the PGA show at the beginning of the year with some of our latest technology. So happy to happy to chat about everything new that we have.
Yeah, let's start where you want to start. I don't know. I know there's a new rangefinder on the market, but you have other things going on. The earbuds have been doing great as well. And those things.
Exactly. Yeah, the earbuds have kind of been leading the charge this season so far. But kind of getting back to where you started with our rangefinder, you know, we started as a rangefinder company, and we always will be a rangefinder company with the basis of technology. So we do have a new one coming out, and it's more of a entry level rangefinder. So basically, it just rounds out our offering so that we have kind of a entry level, mid level, and then a high level rangefinder. So, you know, we are excited about it. It is a great price point. It's going to retail for $99 on Amazon. So it really doesn't get any better for cheaper. So we're excited about it because it, again, just puts us into all categories of the rangefinder market. But as you alluded to, the earbuds have really been, you know, generating a lot of attention for us. And, you know, the feedback's been fantastic. It's a very unique product so far. Of course, whenever you have a new product, it tends to get, or a good new product, it tends to get copied very quickly. So in some cases, we're hoping someone copies us soon because it will get the technology more, you know, spread out there. But the earbuds are basically, you know, everything you expect out of a normal earbud that you use with your phone, but it also has the golf data into it. So it'll give you the yardages, you know, a yardage of a hole. It'll give you the yardage to the bunkers, the water hazard, whatever it is. It gives you all those yardages with the tap of a button on the right earbud. So definitely a very cool technology, and you seem to see everyone wearing earbuds now. So it's definitely goes hand in hand with kind of everyday life as we know it.
Yeah, it's pretty good that way. So how does the golf technology come into the earbuds, though? Because they're great for music, and they're pretty good for answering phones. How do I sound now? How do I sound now? People say, hey, you sound pretty good. But where does the golf technology come in?
It's all driven from our app. So you download the Tech app, which is free. And basically, when you show up at the golf course, you open the app. The app has GPS technology built into it. So when you open it up, you know, on the first hole or at the clubhouse of the course, it's going to recognize where you are. And it's going to ask if you're at XYZ golf course. You select yes. And as soon as you do, it loads hole number one. And then if you need to progress, if you're starting on the back nine or something like that, you can adjust accordingly. But it's going to automatically locate where you are and ask you if you're playing that course before loading the data onto the app and onto the phone.
But isn't it a little rude to have earbuds in when you have playing partners there and they're like, what are you doing? Obviously, the yardage must be sounding off in your ear.
Correct. Yeah, it does. You know, it's not constant noise, but at the same time, you know, to answer your question about being rude, of course there are, you know, every one of us has probably been paired with someone they didn't necessarily enjoy hearing for 18 holes. So being able to drown them out in some occasions might not be a bad thing. But at the same time, this was almost, we developed this product for the golfer that plays a lot by himself, right? So he or she out on the course by themselves, you know, getting in practice, could be used on the range, obviously, for music. But on the course, you know, if you're playing by yourself and you want to focus on your game and improvement, maybe still answer a few phone calls, you know, or listen to music at the same time as you're getting the yardage, you can really do all of that with these earbuds. So, yes, and you can also leave one in and take one out. That way you can hear your playing partners. So basically you can have it your way with these earbuds and use them how you wish, whether you want to completely drown out everyone else you're playing with, or stay in tune with them. You can do both.
Can you switch back between music and the yardage?
Yes. So basically, when you press the right earbud, it'll give you the yardage and then click back to whatever, whether that was silence or whether that was music or a phone call. It's going to click back to that once it gives you the yardage.
Oh, just the yardage. What if I need the yardage again?
Then you tap it again.
Oh.
And it'll, you know, overtake the music or the phone call and give you that yardage.
Steve Henneman, my guest on TW Keith Jones. We're just out of time. Get out there and practice your game. Of course, use your yardage. Apparatus, people, you must. It makes a huge difference. It has, certainly, for everybody that works on this show. But thanks for joining us. And practice. Take your game to the next level. We will talk to you next week. Take care.